The following message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. God bless you. This is our week two of meeting out here at the park, and it's kind of exciting to be fellowshipping today out in this beautiful weather. Granted, it is very sunny, but it is also very hot and very humid. But we are here around God's creation here in the fellowship with one another, and it's kind of exciting when we get to sing praise and worship in the open, because you just know that sound carries, and I'm just kind of really thrilled that we have an opportunity to make our voice known in the community beyond just where we meet on Sunday and just the building that we meet at on a Sunday, that we actually get to church outside of the walls and start to take some inroads into our community. So welcome everyone here who's worshiping with us today. We're glad that you're a part of our worship service and a part of our time where we celebrate the name of Jesus, and we just fellowship with one another, and we're just glad that you're worshiping with us today. If you're visiting for the first time, you're probably picking up this message a little bit in midstream or late stream, depending on if you've heard some of the messages online. And the newest sermons and the newest teachings will be available for you to be able to catch and follow up. We're also in the process of doing some updating with the church website and different streaming services like iTunes, and getting a podcast up and running. So there's a lot of different things that are set to trigger in the month of July and into August. So just want to kind of get your antenna up on that, because we're going to have some pretty big changes to the site and to our overall identity moving forward here at Maranatha. So if you're visiting, make sure to kind of stay in tune. Always check out the church Facebook page, because that's where we keep the most relevant and current information. The church website is really more of a landing page to kind of redirect you to the places where you can learn more about our history, who we are, and the current teaching series that we are working through. And to that point, we've been journeying through a study in 1 Peter. And I don't want to go into all the deep detail here for today's purpose, because this is a message that I strongly feel is one you're going to want to revisit often. And I want to kind of put this little disclaimer on this. It's not because I feel as if I wrote the best message ever written, and therefore you will want to share this and listen to this every single time you feel a little bit conflicted or in a struggle. Rather, I do firmly believe that the Holy Spirit inspired me to get this down and get it into my understanding. But beyond that, I just know from personal experience in my own life that there are some messages that you just need to go and pull back out and re-listen to re-jog your memory and reaffirm your faith that you're on the right track. And when you're going through something, that it's not just you, and there's a deeper reason why, and there's a way through that struggle, through that season, there's a way through that. And this is one of those messages. So we're actually, if you want to just kind of follow in the text, and we're going to go into the text in a moment, we are in 1 Peter chapter 4. And if I was titling this message, and you know, if you'd like to take notes, and I always encourage you to, and the notes are also on the Facebook page, just go to the notes tab, and every teaching note that is tied to what we share on a Sunday is available for you to go ahead and pull down, use, and study. They're aids for you to continue the study after the message. But if I was going to title today's message, I would say today is Grace to Answer. Grace to Answer. And the reason I titled it Grace to Answer is because each week we've been looking at this epistle of Peter's that is touching on the broad topic of grace. He hasn't gone into the deep theology of the grace of God. But he has allowed us to get some understanding as to how this grace is applied in our life and in our circumstance. And sometimes we are so prone to want to answer. Sometimes it's reactionary. Other times it's well thought out and intentional. But the truth of the matter is, when we are facing a challenge or a season of questioning or doubt, the answer that we want to deliver is the God-reasoned answer, and that is supported through His Word. And sometimes those answers are hard to deliver to ourselves or to another person, and we need the grace of God to help us deliver that message. And so today is Grace to Answer, and if I was going to kind of give a second title to this message, I would say it is The Throwback, the Old versus the New. The other day I was in Dollar General, and I was walking through my favorite aisle, and for those of you who don't know me, that favorite aisle is on the left side candy and on the right side chips. Both are dangerous places for any person to probably be, especially someone like me. I like crunchy and I like sweet, and so it's you know, when I go through that aisle, I just kind of, I start thinking, and everything is like a dollar priced anyway, so it fits in almost any budget. So as I'm walking through that aisle, I caught a box of candy that grabbed my attention because of how it was packaged. And I'm holding up this box right here for y'all to see, and I'll be more than happy to give this box away. Okay, Allie, you got it. So at the end of the message, come up and see me, and I'll make sure that you get the box, okay? But as I was looking at this box, it caught my attention because the packaging of it reminded me of when I was younger. For those of you who are streaming it online or listening on through a podcast, it's a box of Nerds. And on the very box, it says Throwback. And it has these kind of retro colors, you know, late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s colors. Now, the reality is, Nerds have not changed as long as I remember them. They're still sold in the same flavors, in the same packaging, still distributed by the same candy company. I think Wonka, and I think Wonka is a division of Nestle now. I don't know, but you know, nothing has changed. But this was a clever little marketing technique to give you this retro box. And I remember when I was a lot younger, my dad would take me when there was still a Five and Dime, FW Woolworth. And he would take me downtown Winchester. He usually had to go to the bank and conduct some, you know, downtown business. And then we would duck into the Woolworth, and I would get a box of Nerds or, you know, chewing gum cigars or candy cigarettes or whatever it was. But I would get these boxes of Nerds, and it was only a quarter. And so I remember being able to purchase this candy. And I've always loved Nerds, but the Throwback. That's what I want to focus on, is the Throwback. And the Throwback works because the Throwback has the ability to recapture your memory and get you into a frame of or a place of being that jogs all of these emotions. One place that I know is just totally branded on the Throwback is Cracker Barrel. I mean, you walk in the front door, and everything about the very restaurant chain, no matter where you are in the United States, there's a Cracker Barrel, they all look the same. And they all have branded that restaurant on the Throwback. Even the food is packaged in a way where it's kind of like that old kind of home cooking, you know, like what your grandma used to make. And if your grandma wasn't from the South, it was still that old kind of cooking that you wish your grandma made if she was from the South. But everything in the store is Throwback. They have old candy styles. They have old looking. And it's almost an interesting look if you didn't know what to expect, because on the inside it has a country store feel, which is a Throwback image. But then they have a mixture of new items that you can buy as well as old items. I call them new vintage. They're obviously not from the period, but they're recreated to be from the period. So it's old styles of candy, blackjack gum and clove gum and different kind of flavors and boxes of candy from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. You know, it's again, the power of the Throwback. And the power of the throwback has always been effective because the good old days of nerds and moon pies and gum and even superheroes become that re-jogging of what we would call a better time. I even have in my closet, and I didn't bring them today, but I have in my closet what I call, again, those new throwback kind of shirts. I have a throwback jersey from Larry Bird, number 33, Boston Celtics, a Batman jersey, an Aquaman shirt, and even the infamous blue can Dr. Pepper that on the back says, I'm a Pepper. And of course, they're not from the period, but they look vintage. And chances are, if you're not careful, you too can get caught in the throwback. A couple weeks ago, Billy posted on Facebook that he discovered a channel that's actually titled MeTV. So it's about you, okay? And on it, it was Hogan's Heroes. And he posted, it's like being a kid again. All those shows I grew up with. And I have that same channel on my TV provider. And sure enough, it is Hogan's Heroes and Carol Burnett and MASH and Gilligan's Island. And if you stay up real late, and you have the late night hours where most TV is off limits, if you stay on that channel, you'll catch a black and white Perry Mason mystery. The whole channel is a throwback. And the throwback brings you back to that place of candy and TV shows and just being young and having fun for most of your life. But there is also a dark side of the throwback. Because not everything you did or were a part of was young and fun or as you remember it. Your throwback years were not entirely filled with candy and silly sketch comedies. For every great Celtics basketball team, there were more than a few dark years. And the blue can of Dr. Pepper was about as popular as Tab, the pink can. The throwback years are not just those growing up years when you were young, but they are also the years you were trying to figure out who you are or wanted to be. You stopped playing with G.I. Joes or Barbie dolls, and you moved into the more dangerous worlds of identity and meaning. And some of those throwback years are filled with addictions and hurts and fears, broken relationships, great disappointment, sickness, loss, and even confusion. For some, the throwback really does need to be thrown away, like a T-shirt that has stayed in the closet too long, or a garment that once fit you 20 years ago. So while there are certainly great throwback moments, they are often intertwined with some not-so-great moments. And for today's purpose, in 1 Peter chapter 4, he's actually going to share a great deal about the dangers of the throwback and why, if you are meant to live as a life giving the seed of hope, the throwback is a place we not only need to avoid, but we cannot live in. So if you're taking notes, first note, here we are. Remember, we're talking about the throwback. Grace to answer the throwback. Because we all are challenged in the throwback. Point one, what you focus on in your throwback will determine what you press toward in your future. What you focus on in your throwback will determine what you press toward in your future. The excellent Bible commentarian Warren Wiersbe warned, quote, we tend to romanticize our past spiritual encounters and therefore create a negative expectation for what God can do today, end quote. Even modern psychologists, and I'm not an advocate for what modern psychology advocates in its total, but there are some excellent truths that you can pull from even modern psychology. And even modern psychology warns, and I quote, romanticizing the past makes us feel bad about the present, end quote. One of my favorite 60s songs is the Mary Hopkins song, Those Were the Days, My Friends. And there have been many songs that have been written and performed that share the same sentiment. But we do have a tendency to misremember the past when we can and should start romanticizing about the future. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 4. Since Christ has suffered physically, take the same attitude that he had. A person that has suffered physically no longer sins. That way you won't be guided by sinful human desires as you live the rest of your lives on earth. Instead, you will be guided by what God wants you to do. In this chapter, Peter addresses again, the model of suffering within the context of patience and grace and submission and authority. And now Peter ties the suffering Christ and suffering for Jesus' sake as a person who is being persecuted because the good old days of sin are not the identifying marks of your life any longer. Therefore, if you are living with and in such grace as to be free from the slavery of sin, don't throw back your future. Don't throw back your future by giving God's grace to the sphere of the cravings of this world. Or Peter would be so bold as to use the word lusts of the world. If you are focused on your throwback of your past, you will fall back in love with the same lusts that kept you as slaves and bound. But if you nurture your love for God and you live in His grace with obedience to His ways, you will crave a future that desires the will of God. Point two. Enough is enough. I'm not sure about you, but I love a good buffet. Truthfully, even a bad buffet is workable because I can probably find one or two things that I can continue to revisit. But a good buffet is well worth the money. But there comes a time, even in the buffet line, that the endless bowl of whatever, someone needs to tell you, enough is enough. Again, Peter puts it this way, 1 Peter 4:3. You spent enough time in the past doing what unbelievers like to do. You were promiscuous, had sinful desires, got drunk, went to wild parties, and took part in the forbidden worship of false God. Unbelievers insult you now because they are surprised that you no longer join them in the same excesses of wild living. And Peter uses this word past. Now, when he uses the word past, he's not just referring to like that was in your past, like 10 years ago or last week, that was in your past. Actually, the actual word here for past is something that has passed by you. So get the analogy of you're on the road and you've gone past the exit, or you've gone by the place you once were. So you can get an image. Yes, it is technically in your past if you've gone by it. But the idea of it's past or it's gone past you means that it's now closed and done. Put it in today's context in your life. The old habits, the old associates, the practices, the places, the amusements, everything of the old life, which is not in accordance with the Word of God, should be now taboo in the new life of the Christian. There's a show on National Geographic titled Taboo. And it says that we, at a later generation, would be comfortable redefining by saying, well, in the first century, it wasn't really like that. Because Peter uses words that are just as detailed and as serious as those five deadly sins he mentioned earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 3. And so he uses words that are connected to the throwback. One of those words is lasciviousness. Now, you probably wouldn't have even read the word lasciviousness unless you read it in your King James Bible or you read it from some document in the 1700s or 1800s, maybe early 1900s. But lasciviousness is a term, unless it's sitting on some law in some rural part of the country, that lasciviousness is a term that we do not identify with any longer. But lasciviousness is defined as actions that excite, disgust, and shock public decency. And within a biblical application, this word lasciviousness is the prominent idea that is locked to the practice of sensuality. Now, and I am not saying this in any sense of mockery, because it is sad what I'm going to say here. But I read just this week that there is a man who wants to become a woman, who has now become a woman, who now wants to go from being a woman to being a dragon, and is going through all of the surgical procedures to look like a dragon. That is lasciviousness. Not tied to the sensuality per se, but it is the shock value. It is the surprise of the what moment. Now, Peter doesn't stop just with this idea of lasciviousness, because he doesn't limit the idea of lust to purely sexual attitudes and actions, because the word lust is actually tied to a thought of an intense, unrestricted, passionate desire. So you can have lust to the excess of wine, lust to the point of overflowing, lust in the excess of wealth, lust in the excess for living. Have you ever heard that? He's just got a lust for life, lust for power, lust for men, lust for women, lust for adventure. The soft expression of that word is just one more. I remember growing up with my best buddy, and this is when video games were just coming out, and so they were beyond just all the craze. It was just totally a game changer for young kids growing up. And I remember we had this particular game, I think it was Super Mario Brothers at the time, but I remember playing that game, and every time I would die at whatever level it was, I picked up this expression, just one more, just one more. And my friend, my best buddy Matt, would laugh at me, because he knew if I meant one more, that meant like 20 more minutes. There's no such thing as one more. At some point, enough is enough. To revel is not just to have fun in a community gathering, but it is the wild, ecstatic practices that are tied to how this world lives. And even in the debauchery of Rome in the first century, imagine that there were laws against banquetings. Again, there's an ancient word to our modern ear. But when we think of banquetings, we think of a big dinner like at a wedding. But that's not what banquetings was in the first century, because Paul warns in 1 Corinthians 10:14 that Christians are forbidden to drink from the cup of demons. It was a practice tied to a culture, to a faith, to a religion, to an ideology, to a way of life that embraced the lasciviousness and the debauchery and the lust of the world, and it should be taboo to the Christian. And can you imagine, even in the pagan Roman system, they had laws against banqueting, which meant, as perverse as Rome could be, there is even a line of lasciviousness that Rome said was too far. So when we use the expression, well, when in Rome, act as the Romans, that's not a license to live completely cut loose and free. Because even the Romans didn't live like the Romans. So, point two, enough is enough. Point one, what you focus on in your throwback will determine what you press toward in your future. Point three, the throwback can and will. Listen to me. The throwback can and will carry you further back than you ever intended. It is 100% foolproof. If you entertain the throwback thinking you're just going to go back a little bit, you will go further back than you ever intended. Because when we run to the past, we begin to run with the pack of people, the places, the events, and the life where the tides will fill the hollows of your state. Now listen, what I mean by that is this. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit has filled you. But if you begin to live in the throwback, you are emptying yourself of the Holy Spirit in your life. You are kicking the Holy Spirit out of the inside of your spirit man, and you now have a hollow spot there. And guess what happens in the throwback? It, like a tide, rushes in and fills the hollow of your soul with the throwback of that past. And before you realize it, that throwback that you just thought about entertaining a little bit leads you to the road of moral degradation and spiritual dejection. And this is our world today, as much as it was in Peter's age. If we're not determined to live in the future glory of Jesus, we will throw back to a type of Christianity that attempts to combine this world with his world. The result is we no longer realize the totality of a depraved nature which before salvation had given love to sinful things. But with Christ and through his revelation, we have now the power broken over us. We're no longer bound to sin. We have another nature. We're given a divine nature. We now have the opportunity to be living with the motivating principle of Christ that causes us to hate the things we once loved and to now love the things we once hated. Said another way, we now have the opportunity to hate the throwback of the world and love the future of the kingdom of God. And so 1 Peter chapter 4 brings us to a concluding part. I'm going to quickly bullet this and then we're going to wrap it up. Peter says, the end is very near. So, dot, dot, dot. Peter says, so be clear in your mind and be sober. Watch for the opportunities to be led by the Spirit to insert the testimony of the great hope you have in Christ, 1 Peter 3:15. Express God's love which is produced by the Holy Spirit by living lives that are not self-centered, but they are giving of oneself to others. Be responsible as a steward of everything God has given you because you are responsible first for your home. It starts in your house. But above all, before you even get into any of those quick points, remember this. You can only do this through his love. For some, there are those moments in which the throwback may seem as a wonderful place to revisit and remember. But unfortunately, there are those people who still live in places where they are now trapped and can't find the way out. That is not the place for me, you, or any of us who have been freed from the throwback. Henry David Thoreau said, "Never look back unless you are planning to go that way." Lewis Carroll, the author of Alice in Wonderland, said, "It's no use going back to yesterday because I was a different person then." You see, what Peter, Paul, the Holy Spirit, the words of Jesus, even the words of Rome, with its limited understanding, are telling us is there is a danger in the throwback. President Kennedy said, "Change is the law of life, and those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future." William Wordsworth, "Life is divided into three terms, that which was, which is, and which will be. Let us learn from the past to profit by the future, and from the present live better in the future." But I like what Paul said. "Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. God has done all of this. He has restored our relationship with him through Jesus and given us the ministry of restoring relationships." You have a mission, which is why you've been given the seed of hope, the seed of the kingdom, why you've been called to live separate, why you are compatible with God, why you
live as living stones and not dead stones. Why you are someone who avoids the throwback by living in the expectation of the glorious future. What an awesome privilege you have. What an awesome position you're in to help rescue people from their throwback. And I want to encourage you today before we pray. If the throwback has been getting a place of insight into your life, like it's got an inroad, it's time you drive past it, put it in your rearview mirror, take the key, lock the door, and toss it into the ocean where you cannot ever redig it back up, and press toward your future in Christ. Now, it's going to come through love. It's going to come through grace. It's going to come through mercy. It's going to come through deed. It's going to come through standing firmly on His word. Trust and obedience. These are all these themes that we visited over the past month and a half in 1 Peter. But the challenge is before you. You don't have to live in the throwback. You can be pressing toward the future. I want to pray with you today as we now close our time here of celebrating Jesus' word. I want us to close today and I want us to commit to putting the past in the past and start dreaming about the future. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now as we prepare to come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your word, I pray that you would now allow this word to settle into our spirit.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnian was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.